Wow.
Could we pack much more awesome stuff in an hour and a half? Boy, if you're in tune to the Spirit, there were so many connections and dots being connected throughout the service. It was pretty mind-boggling. God's into blowing people's minds, loves to blow people's minds. He's a mind-blowing God. And I wrote down a bunch of stuff, and it's all over these pages, so I'm going to try to make my way through it and find it. One thing I got while we were back there is heaven is invading earth. Heaven is invading earth. Setting things straight. Setting things straight. There's great conflict when this happens. You would think when heaven invades earth that there's this kumbaya and this peace and everybody holds hands and peace on earth and everybody gets along, but that's not the case. That's not how this works. So when light meets darkness, there's conflict. There's collision. Literally wrote this down, and there was two children. One was coming towards the door and one was coming out, and they both hit each other, going about 75% speed. Flip-flops went, this is what I'm talking about. Flip-flops went flying. They went flying. I grabbed one kid's flip-flop and took it out to his mom. I said, I think he lost this during the collision. When God does show and tell and he shows you something and then it plays out in life, it's just, okay. Great conflict. Collision of darkness and light. I want you to realize there's so many things that have happened today. When Moses dedicated and the Israelites dedicated the temple of Moses. Do you know what happened? The glory came flooding into the temple. You know what happened when Solomon dedicated the temple, his temple? The glory came flooding into the temple to the point where they couldn't talk, they couldn't speak. God had come in the house. All they could do was bow. All they could do was be like sponges and saturated in his presence. Why? Because God came down. God came down. And the awesome thing is now you're the temple. In the same way that he filled that temple, Solomon filled the temple of Moses, he can come into your skin house, your tent, and fill you in the same manner. In services like this, he can come in, he can absolutely saturate every cell of your body. He's come to set things straight. He's come to put things that are dislocated back into location. And I want you to understand this concept of this collision. When I was at Kent, I saw someone playing basketball that dislocated their hip. I've never seen something so gruesome or someone in so much pain as this kid. But you know what the doctor had to do? The doctor had to put the hip back into location. Do you think that was some kind of tender process? Some kind of nice, easy thing? Have you ever seen orthopedics? Have you ever seen an orthopedic doctor work? It is nothing nice. They have to go in and they have to relocate those things that have been dislocated. They have to reattach those things that have been detached. And it is nothing nice to see. But God is coming and he's setting things straight. I don't know if you've noticed so far, seems like it's been the start of this year. There's stuff that's being unveiled. And I'm talking about there's things that are evil that are being unveiled and there's things of God's glory that are being revealed. When God comes into the house, when the light comes into the house, darkness has got to flee, and everything that is not right and everything that is not straight will be revealed. Everything, 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 everything. He will not leave one stone unturned. He wants to do the same thing with us. He went into the holiest of holies in heaven, it says, one time with his blood. And there was a cleansing process that took place for those that will receive him and are born again. He went into that heavenly place, that holiest of holies in heaven with his blood one time, once and for all. And he cleansed our temple that those who would receive the Holy Ghost, those who would be born again, the Holy Spirit can move through you. He won't move through an unclean vessel. He'll move through a clean one. And the only reason you're clean and I'm clean is because he's clean. That's why when you become born again and you receive a new spirit, heaven begins to have a conversation with you. God has conversations with you. God can now minister through you. God can now come in through you, through your tent, through your vessel. Wrote some other stuff. Bethany just happened to say, jump in. VBS just happened to be diving. There just happened to be this child over top of this big pool of water that decided to put his face down in the water and see what the glory of God actually looked like. You think these things could be orchestrated? Oh, my goodness. She said, he's fixing things. She said, he's healing things. Do you realize he's in the house right now? Do you realize he's speaking through his word? Do you realize when you speak his word, it's his words? When God spoke, when Jesus spoke out of his words, when you read these words, you're reading the word of God. And things have got to line up. People, listen, are you desperate here today? Are you the bride of Christ today? Are you longing and eagerly awaiting for his return? He's coming back for a bride without spot or blemish that is so in love with him that every day they wake up and they say, come on, Lord, I'm ready. Come on, come on, come on down, come on down, come on down. Let's get this thing. See, I'm into this point in my life right now that I want God to shake some stuff up. I'm so tired of the status quo throughout this world. I'm so tired of people being asleep. I'm so tired of people being apathetic and lethargic and numb. So God's gonna start a fire in every one of your hearts. And he told me when I came in here today, listen, he told me when I came in today that the people that come here today are a special kind of people. You know what I did on the way here? I saw some people fishing. I saw some people on their way to go golfing and that whatever. And I saw some people doing this and mowing their lawn and doing that. And the sun was shining. And they say, I'm going to enjoy this morning because the sun's shining. Well, the sun is shining in here today. Listen. And for every one of you that came in here today, he's got a special blessing for you. He's got a special way he's going to minister to you here today. Why? Because you dedicated yourself and you set yourself apart. There's something that happens when a body of people set themselves apart for him and say, we're coming for your glory, we're coming to see you come down, we're coming to see it. This is the greatest show on earth! so many shows you could be watching. This is how it should be. Listen, we are lively stones, we are not dead. We are lively stones. You should be coming into this house with such excitement, realizing this is the place to be. Why? Because God's here. Fixing things, healing things. He's going to strengthen. I wrote this down when I was back there. He's going to strengthen feeble knees and set straight those things that are dislocated. There's been a theme today. I don't know if you've caught on yet, but we've heard about his presence. And we've heard about his presence. And then, again, we heard about his presence. And then someone else said something about his presence and his presence and his presence. This is where we start. This is Isaiah speaking. This is Isaiah 64. And this varies, just four verses, 1-4. And I want you to understand that Isaiah has been ministering for 60 years. He has seen five kings. He's ministered to five kings. He has seen and done it all. Boy, you figure at this time in Isaiah's life, he'd be right about ready to pack it up and camp it up. Maybe I'm talking to somebody in here that's 65 or 70 or 75 or 80 or 85. It's not time to pack it up. It is time for you to take the torch and pass it down to a younger generation. It is time for you to take the fire that you have in your heart that has not died, but it's grown more fierce, to pass that down generation to generation to generation. But he was desperate. He was still, I want to be 80 years old and still be this desperate. Served as a prophet over Uzziah and Jotham and Ahaz and Hezekiah and Manasseh. He longed for the days when God left his throne in heaven and visited man in all his glory. He knew the people around him needed a fresh revelation of who he was. People were sleeping and he knew only God could get their attention. They had forgotten. And this is where we start in Isaiah 64. This is verse 1. And he said, oh. And when you hear the word oh in the Bible, it is a word of exclamation. It is a word of, man, I want this thing to happen. I want this thing to come. He says, oh, that you would rend the heavens. And that word rent is a violent renting. That is a violent rend. That is a violent tearing. And it is similar to what happened when Jesus died and resurrected. And it says that temple, or that veil in that temple, that was a huge thing. It ripped from top to bottom. And what's it say? It says when that veil is rent, that the earth began to shake. It says the rocks, not pebbles, rocks were split down the middle. There was people that were buried in the ground in their graves, and they came up out of their graves because heaven had invaded earth. There's a word going forth, and it's a word of power, and it's a word of anointing, and it's a word that says, wake up, church, wake up. It says, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Pastor Jeff gave that message, this idea of, are we looking for his coming? Are we the bride that says, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus? Because this revelation is going to come to his body, and it's going to come so strong that you're going to want to desire his coming so bad that you're not worried about the things of life. The things that normally consume you and tie you up, and the busyness and the fret and the frustration are going to fade away because you want your husband to come back. He's going to set some people on fire. He is going to absolutely set some people on fire, and you're going to burn for him. You're going to burn for him. He's an all-consuming fire, and he says, don't count it strange that his ministers are turned into flames of fire. When the flame goes out, it's going to burn everything, all the junk is going to be burned off. And this is what it says. That you would rend the heavens, that you would tear the veil, that you would tear that thing wide open, that you would come down, that the mountains might shake, what? At your presence. Number one, it's the first time he says it. As fire burns brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries. Boy, there's a cry of my heart right now of all the people that are anti-God and anti-Christ. God, reveal yourself to them. If it has to be an earthquake, so be it. If it has to be a tornado, so be it. If it has to be a great shaking, so be it. If it has to be a hurricane, so be it. Because when God comes to earth, everything changes. Everything changes. Everything changes. He's not the little boy in the manger anymore. He is a fierce warrior that burns with love for you. He causes water to boil. When that kid put his face down into that pool, I said, if that water starts to boil, I'm running. I was like, if that starts to boil. Isn't it interesting that his fire causes water to boil? Have you ever looked down into a pot full of water that is violently churning and is it is boiling? That's what he desires to come to do on the inside of us, is come and start to shake up stuff, places that we're asleep, places where we're apathetic, places where we're lazy. He wants to come and he wants to boil that water that is literally just sitting there stagnant. He wants to come and he wants to begin to boil it. You can cook some stuff in boiling water. You cannot cook anything in lukewarm water. I would rather have you ice cold than to be lukewarm. At least you can do something with cold water. Anyway, to rend. To make known your name to your adversaries, that the nations, we can be so short-sighted, and we live in these little cities, and maybe we think about the state, and maybe we think about America, but he is talking about shaking the nations. Make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may what? Tremble. The fierceness and the awesomeness of God. The fear of God being unleashed in the earth. The fear of God. You know the word awesome? The word awesome, we use it for everything. Oh, that's an awesome bike. Oh, that's an awesome car. Oh, that's an awesome sunset. You know what the word awesome used to be? It was the idea of this fearful, godly reverence of awe. Awe. God moving and this awe. When you did awesome things for which we weren't even looking for. Don't you like it when, I mean, there's one thing to be looking for God to do stuff, but that's a whole nother realm when God just shows up and does stuff and you weren't even looking for it. We weren't even looking for it. You came down, the mountains shook at your presence. We've heard it three times. Might shake at your presence, may tremble at your presence, and the mountains shook at your presence. The presence, the presence, the presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God beside you who acts for the one who waits for him. And we can stop there, and we can kind of understand the concept of waiting. But I looked up the word wait. Do you know what it means? It means to long for. To long for. You're not just hanging out waiting for somebody. You're longing for his return. I guess we heard today an evangelist call of, if you don't know him in here today, get into the ark of safety. Don't get into the ark of safety when everything's going down. Don't be like the people in Noah's day that it just came. And it says they were out and they were marrying and they were drinking and they were doing these things and all these things, and the flood came. What God is saying, if you're in the house today and you do not know him, come to him today. Come to him today. He will reveal himself to those that don't know him. Who acts for the one who longs for him. Isaiah was desperate. Do you know what Isaiah's name means? God saves. We talked about this last time, but the book of Isaiah is actually set up like the Old and New Testament, in which you have judgment and then you have deliverance. Interesting. But at your presence is mentioned three times, and we've had a theme today, and we have to pay attention to this theme. His presence, his presence. He was so desperate for a visitation from God himself to reveal his power and his glory. He actually referred to a time God visited Moses on Mount Sinai, and we're going to look at that. This is what it says in Exodus 19, in verse 16. Just again, just a few verses. It says, then it came to pass on the third day. Pay attention to the timing in the Bible and the numbers of the Bible. This happened on the third day, and it happened in the morning. Isn't that interesting? That there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of a trumpet so loud, so very loud, so that the people who were in the camp trembled. This blast of a trumpet came, and there's going to be another sound of a trumpet that actually blasts, ushering in the second coming of Christ. We are so privileged to be sitting in here today, listening to this word, and also listening to this worship. We are so absolutely, undeniably privileged. The sound of a trumpet blast. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely enveloped in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. This all-consuming fire split the heavens, came down, and revealed himself. And it says he was an all-consuming fire. So Mount Sinai was completely in smoke. Put yourself in the story, completely on fire, completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace. If you've ever been to a big old bonfire and you saw that smoke going up, imagine a bonfire that is 20 acres big. Smoke ascending up from it. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace. The whole mountain quaked greatly. The whole mountain was quaking. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long, it became louder. And if it wasn't enough that the first blast of the trumpet, it became louder and it became louder and it became louder. There's a sound of a trumpet that is going forth from the body of Christ. Those that have received his spirit, his anointing, and they're going to speak. And this word is going to get louder and it's going to get louder and it's going to get louder to the point that it cannot be denied. And those that are out there have got to hear it. The disciples said, it said they absolutely turned the world upside down. And they didn't do it hiding out somewhere. They didn't do it by keeping their mouth shut. They were on fire for him. And they spoke his word and things happened. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And if you just travel a little bit past this in Exodus 20:18, it says, now all the people witnessed the thunderings and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and they stood afar off. I don't know what we actually think about God. I've said this before, we have a tendency to look at a picture on a wall and see Jesus as this white dude with long flowing blonde hair holding a lamb. God's presence, there is such an awe, there is such a wonder, there is such a power, there is such a dread, there is such a fear that goes along with that, a godly fear that goes along with his presence. And maybe what he's trying to prepare the church for is he's going to say, people think I'm one thing, but I'm actually another. Lightning flashes, sound of the trumpet, mountain smoking. When the people saw it, they trembled. Then they said to Moses, you speak to us. We don't want this God that comes down as a fire and shakes the mountains and blasts of a trumpet and all this stuff. We don't want to talk to that one. We want to talk to this nice little compartmentalized in a box God. We don't want to hear his booming voice. We want it toned down just a little bit. We want it watered down just a little bit. We don't want to hear exactly what he has to say, and we surely don't want to hear it loud. Don't speak to us. We want to hear Moses. Because if God speaks to us, we're going to die. The devil's a liar. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. As believers, many of us have come to this point. Like Lot in the midst of Sodom and Gomorrah, who was tormented day to day by seeing and hearing the lawless deeds of the people, we cry out, rend the heavens and come down. Come down and set this nonsense straight. There's stuff that the church does through teaching and preaching and evangelism, and the prophets come forth fully equipped and we do all this stuff, but there's something about co-laboring with God in which he will take what the church has done, but there's stuff that he does all by himself. And he will take what the church does up until a certain point, and then he will take the thing over, and he will take it to limits and heights that we could never even imagine we could have gone. That's our Papa. That's our Father. That's our God. The reverence and fear of an almighty God. We cry out, rend the heavens and come down. Let the nations tremble at your presence. Let the fear and awe of God break forth throughout this world and turn this thing absolutely upside down. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for something that may be status quo to absolutely be shaken up and turned upside down? Are you ready? We have family members and friends that are sick and they need healing. God, rend the heavens and come down and release your power through us to heal those diseases, to heal those ailments, to heal those things that are dislocated and out of presence. Use us as conduits to lay our hands on the sick and see them recovered, to see the dead raised. signs and wonders done through apostles and prophets and teachers that have been raised up in the body of Christ. The time is now. The time is not coming. The time is right here, and it's right now for the church to absolutely explode and catch fire and multiply. It talks about this idea of the nations running in to the church. This thing is not going to be done in a corner, just like it was with the disciples. The thing was not done in a corner. That's why the world was absolutely turned upside down. We have family members and friends that are sick and need healing. We have people around us that are addicted to drugs that need deliverance. They want to experience God, but they're trying to experience through a substance. Do you know those people that are super addicted to drugs? The thing they really crave is the presence of God. I hope there's somebody addicted in here right now or listening that's going to listen to this that understands the fact that I was addicted, and the thing that I wanted most was the presence of God. And I looked for it in everything but Him. And He had to absolutely shake my life and turn it upside down to point to me and said, the thing that you're searching for is right here. Rend the heavens and come down. There are people around us that are spiritually, absolutely spiritually dead, and they need to wake up. And there's some that are in the church that have fallen into lukewarmness, and they have fallen away, and they need to wake up. We have to have a visitation from Him. You know, when He comes, when we so long and so desire for Him to show up, He says, now I'm coming. And I feel like we've seen splashes, and I feel like we've seen small rivers, and I feel like we've seen rain come down. But I'm asking for a flood. Are you asking for a flood? Are you okay with God coming into your house like a flood and messing a bunch of stuff up that we think we have right or correct? All of our ducks in a row, all of our things in a row. Are we ready for God to come in that manner? Are we ready for Him to come and stir us up like that? I had this vision of this pot being stirred, and I think it was last Sunday. I came up here and I said, I saw God stirring a pot, and I didn't understand it now, but now I understand that what He's doing is He's going to put His hand down in the earth, and He's going to go like this. And the awesome thing about God is He can do stuff like that, and everything falls exactly into place. Jeez. He speaks into a dead void space before there was anything, and He just says, let there be light, and everything that was created by Him just begins to spin, and there's a whirlwind, and boom, there's trees, and boom, there's, because He can speak into a chaotic situation, including a body filled with cancer, and He can speak into the body, and He can say, be healed, and everything that under His authority has got to line up with the Word of God. It has to line up. We're throwing fireballs. Listen, when you open your mouth, you're throwing a fireball. Throw a fireball. It's going to make His ministers flames of fire. And it's not for us to just walk around and be on fire and go into the woods and catch some trees on fire. It's for us to take the fire and go and speak it. Isn't it interesting, this word, go and tell. Go and tell. Tell what? Tell somebody about God's presence. Tell somebody about how awesome He is. Tell somebody about this body and how they can come here and actually experience His presence and take it home. And they don't have to have 5 songs, and they don't have to have a preacher. They can have the presence of God within their home anytime they want it or need it, because there is no veil anymore. Great shaking. Going to the end. Okay, Revelation 22. And this is, we're going to go through 17 verses, so we have to be like, let's get lasered in here. This is the last book of the Bible. This is the last deal. This is Revelation 22. And this is what it says. It says, He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as a crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It says, in the middle of the street on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Isn't it interesting that he calls us trees of righteousness? Trees of righteousness. And your leaves can be used for the healing of the nation. And again, we always come back to this fact is because of him. Nothing that we're going to ever do or be or say, it's because he's going to do it through us, the body of Christ. And there shall be no more curse. There shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face. Why is that important? Because the Bible says when you see him, you're going to be just like him. You know how he transforms you? He shows you his face. And you look at him and you go, Daddy, I came from you. You know, you see these specials and stuff where people go back and they find their adopted parents and they look at him and this crazy emotion takes place and this thing happens where they realize, I came from you. That's what being born again is. Being born again is God unveiling himself and revealing himself, and you go, Daddy, I came from you. The devil didn't create me. You did. Born again. Revelation, new spirit. No wonder it says you're a new creature in him when you're born again. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. Their name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They don't need a lamp nor a light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. Imagine going to a place where you don't need any light at all, that the glory and the light of his presence is literally the thing that you thrive on and exist on. I'm telling you, something is happening in these last days as God's going to reveal to his saints, to his people, to his congregation, to his people. He's going to give you tastes of heaven. And it is going to so burn in your hearts and so catch fire in your hearts and cause a water to boil with inside you. You're going to have to tell somebody about heaven. Let me tell you about heaven. Any color that you've ever seen, heaven does not compare. Heaven is so much greater with all the colors, with all the sounds. God in all his magnificence and all his glory. And you're like, oh my goodness, I'm a part of him. I don't have to go somewhere to find him. I'm actually in Christ. The revelation's for here now, by the way. But the full manifestation of it, when you have a body that is immortal, that will not receive any type of sin, any type of disease, any type of ailment, when you come to that place called heaven, where everything you could ever desire, ever wish to be, or ever hope to be in this light is absolutely fulfilled. This is why this idea of his second coming, if we're thinking, wait a minute, I'm not married yet, but wait a minute. I still got to do stuff. Wait a minute. I still haven't graduated from college. Wait a minute. Listen, if we have that mentality, we don't know his glory. Because when you get into his glory, all of that stuff that ties us up into during the day completely fades away. And you're like, a house? What? You're like, marriage? What? You're like, because you have everything that you could ever want or ever desire and is right enveloped you. That's heaven. They shall reign forever and ever. Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. This is the angel speaking to John on the island of Patmos when John was taken into the spirit and seeing all this go down and all this happen. We're almost done. And what's he tell John? Behold, I am coming quickly. This is 2,000 years ago. Imagine how much closer we are right now. When he's using the words quickly, blessed is he who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. He's testifying. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then the angel said to me, don't do that. See that you don't do that. I'm not Jesus. I'm not the Christ. I'm not God. I am one of his fellow messengers. Don't bow down to me. He says, I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book, worship God. Worship God. Boy, that's a. And he said to me, do not seal the words of this prophecy of this book. do seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. The time is at hand. If you reach out and shake somebody's hand, the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. What he's saying, make up your mind. If you want to be in the filth of the world, then stay there. If you want to be righteous and you want to come into the kingdom, come on. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward, he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. He's a rewarder. To give everyone according to his work. Boy, that's not motivation. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. This is the end of the story, guys. This is Revelation 22. This is boiling down to the end of the book. Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, the first and last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. We talked about gates today. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. And then he says, I, Jesus, the last few verses of the Bible is Jesus talking. And he says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things and to the churches. He says, I am the root and the offspring of David. I am the bright morning star. And it ends with this, and the Spirit and the bride, along with the Holy Spirit and the church, the bride, we say, come. We say, come. Whatever it looks like, we say, come, Lord. Whatever it looks like, we say, come. And it says, you've already done it. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts come. Lastly, whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely, and that's here and now. He says, whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. This is present tense. He's saying, you don't have to wait till heaven to drink of me. He says, you can do it with your two feet planted on this fallen earth and drink me in. Come on, you can all stand. It is no coincidence that the Holy Spirit pricked Jeff's heart, Pastor Jeff's heart, to bring us that message of, are we looking up? There's something about looking up that sets you in preparation mode, readiness mode.